Great. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, I'm aware that there will be many here whose hearts won't be at peace, where there are relationships where there might need a restoration of peace in our lives. We're aware that around the world we are far from at peace, and Lord, we know that we are in our natural state not at peace with you. So we pray as we look at your word now, as we consider the Prince of Peace, we pray that your Spirit would be at work in every single one of us. Lord, would we know your peace this morning? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder what you think of when you think of peace. I wonder whether it might be a nice, quiet place, away from all of the hubbub of everyday life, away from the noise of too many children. Maybe just a good night's sleep, a peace, just to get away from it all, just to relax. Oh, sorry, got a bit carried away with myself there. Maybe, though, maybe the thought of peace is a bit wider. Maybe it's a relationship, a family situation where you really long for peace. An argument or a disagreement that has gone on far too long, and you would love for peace and reconciliation. Maybe your thoughts go wider still to a more global perspective. And you think of the conflicts around the world and all the turmoil and tragedy in so many countries, and you long for world peace. Or maybe you've got a battle going on for peace inside your own heart and mind every day. Maybe you struggle to rein in anxious thoughts and feelings of despair. And you long for that elusive inner peace. What do you think of when you think of peace? Well, today we're continuing our Advent series in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. And so far we've considered the names Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father. And now today we finally come to the name of Prince of Peace. Throughout our series we've seen that this prophecy from Isaiah is an audacious baby announcement. But today we're going to see that we're told this baby will rule with such greatness that his government will reign in peace forever. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Now, world leaders of the past may have made some audacious statements in their leadership campaigns, and certainly we've heard a few throughout this year and over the past couple of years. But can you imagine if Boris Johnson or Donald Trump or any other world leader had claimed that they would bring about complete and total world peace forever? That was part of their manifesto. Well, we think it was ridiculous, wouldn't we? It would be an over-the-top claim. And I'm sure the media would have a field day kind of taking them to pieces on that sort of manifesto. But this is exactly what Isaiah, God's campaign manager, is promising here. We're promised he will be the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign with justice and righteousness forever. And once again, we're left in this Advent state of waiting to see, will he fulfill this? Can he possibly fulfill this? God's people are warring against themselves and against God. Israel are about to be wiped out by Assyria, and Judah are soon to follow them under the rule and might of Babylon. Peace seems a long way from view for God's people. How can they take Isaiah seriously in the face of all this? Everlasting peace? It's just not possible, is it? And we can feel exactly the same in 2019, can't we? Jesus has come. This baby has been born that Isaiah promised, and he promised peace forever. So where is it? Recent history has been far from peaceful. As we look around at the world, it's still a very scary place. We wake up to regular horrific scenes on the news and stories of turmoil and suffering. So how can we take Isaiah 9 and verse 6 seriously in the face of all this? Well, I hope today we're going to see that God does reveal Jesus as the Prince of Peace in many ways. Some immediate and present realities, others future realities. But he revealed it in ways we might not expect. In ways that are far greater than we could have ever imagined. Because Jesus reveals his peace brings peace with God, which is our greatest and ultimate need. Peace of mind, that is a God-given peace within ourselves. Peace with others, that is restored relationships. And also world peace, forever in eternity. So first, let's start with peace with God. Now first, we need to understand that we are not naturally at peace with God. Our natural state is that we are not at peace with God. And the Bible reveals to us that the reason for this is because of sin. We are all born into sin. We're all sinners. And if you doubt that, then just ask the people around you. They'll confirm it. I'm sure they'll be happy to. But that is exactly what the Bible reveals to us. We are all by nature sinners. And everything we do is rooted in the fact that we are a sinner. No one is righteous. No one is perfect. And wherever there is sin, there is death. Sin kills. Sin kills our relationships. Sin kills our own confidence and brings anxiety and fear. And ultimately, sin leads to our own physical death. Wherever there is sin, there is death. Because to put it simply, sin, the word sin means we've turned away from God. We've rejected his good and perfect life-giving way, and we turn and we run away from him to try and live the way we want to run things. And consequently, we're not at peace with God. There is a hostility. We are actively warring against him by doing the things that we want to do, the way we want to do them, selfishly loving ourselves first. And he can't let that rebellion go on forever because of death. He doesn't want us to die in this state. We're under his judgment and are separated from him. There is a gaping chasm between us. And it is the worst situation we could possibly be in. That's why this world is a mess. That's why our lives and our relationships are a mess. This chasm is a chasm we cannot cross by ourselves. We can't make ourselves holy enough to cross that chasm. The standard is perfection, and we can't bridge it. And actually, our actions show we don't really want to bridge it. We're quite happy doing things the way we want. So how can peace be restored? Well, to find that out, we're going to turn to the Nativity story in Luke 2. You might want to turn there in your Bibles. It's obviously a very familiar story to us, isn't it? Remember, we have those shepherds. They're out, as they always are, just a normal weeknight, looking after their sheep in the fields. But something out of the ordinary is about to happen. From nowhere, an angel, a messenger of the Lord, appears. And the glory of the Lord shone about him. Now, I've no idea what that looked like. But what we do know is that the shepherds were absolutely terrified. But the angel comforts them, doesn't he? He says, let me put that up on the screen. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And then the angel is joined by a great company. We don't know exactly how many, but it's an army's worth of angels. And they're all praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. That's a bit worrying, isn't it? Peace for those on whom he is pleased. But we've just seen that he can't possibly be pleased with us. We're running away from him. But their message is twofold, isn't it? First and foremost, God is glorified because this child is born. And secondly, peace is to spread everywhere this child is received. The two great promises. God is glorified, and peace will be among those with whom he's pleased. The point is that even though God's offer of peace goes out to all. Only the people who receive Christ and trust him as Saviour and Lord will experience the peace he brings. This is because the kind of peace that the angels are talking about here isn't world peace here and now. They're not saying that Jesus is coming to sort out all the warring leaders and political powers that rise up against each other, at least not in this immediate moment. We'll talk about that later. But maybe this would sound a bit disappointing to them. We look at our world today, maybe it's disappointing to you, because surely we think there can be no greater need than war to end, for terrorism to be crushed, for warring countries to be restrained. We look around in vain for godly leaders seeking peace. And then we hear about Jesus, finally, a good, wise, wonderful leader. And so surely his top priority is going to be to sort out all the mess of war. Maybe that's what the shepherds hoped for too. The world they were living in was no less messy than the one we're in today. Certainly we know that for many of Jesus' followers, their number one hope was that the Romans were going to be destroyed. But no, that's not what Jesus came to do when he was born in Bethlehem. Jesus came to establish a far more important kind of peace. A peace that, believe it or not, is more desperately needed than a peace between Judah and Rome was needed in those days, and more than peace is needed in the Middle East and the whole world now. A peace that, if you read the Old Testament, would seem at times utterly impossible. Because Jesus came to bring peace between mankind and God. Jesus came as a baby and grew up to die on a cross to win a far greater battle, the battle with sin and death, to win peace for us with God. Colossians 1 verse 13, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God, takes the punishment we deserve. He takes God's judgment upon himself so that we can have peace with God. If we look around the world, we think things look bad. Then we begin to get the tiniest taste of how bad things are between the human race and God. Our greatest need is peace with God. We couldn't achieve it. There's no way that we could cross that. But Christ has won that for us. He made it possible for us to cross over. And all we have to do is to trust in him. Because peace comes to those who are in Christ. In Luke 2, amazingly, we hear the angels claim that peace is possible among those with whom he is pleased. How can he possibly be pleased with us? What does it mean that he can be pleased with us? This isn't a pat yourself on the back moment here, by the way. This isn't saying you've sorted it all out. You haven't behaved your way back into his kingdom. This isn't based on anything you have done or any decision that you have made, other than trusting in Jesus to give you new life. When we read of Jesus' baptism in the Gospel of Mark and Matthew, we hear God the Father speak from heaven, and he declares that Jesus is his Son with whom he's well pleased. If we put our trust in Christ, we are given new hearts. We are reborn. We are clothed with his righteousness, with perfection. We are in Christ, the Son of God. And if we are in Christ, when God looks upon us, he doesn't see the wretched sinner that we are. He sees Christ. He sees his Son. We have become the child with whom he is pleased. We go from being enemies who run far away from him, who want to rule ourselves and the world our way, which only brings war and destruction, as we've said, because of our sin, to being his beloved children who are now loved by him and at peace with him. Romans 5 puts it beautifully. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God." We have peace with God. Through what? Through our own good works? No. Because we've tried harder? No, definitely not. Because I've made a change in my life? No. We have peace with God through Jesus, through whom we have gained access to God. Peace with God begins with faith in Christ. We don't boast in ourselves. We boast in the confidence of God's glory, his gracious act of welcoming us back home by sending his Son to die for us, defeating death and sin. We can have peace with God through faith in Christ, and there is no greater news than this. This is what we're celebrating at Christmas, peace with God. And this has huge implications on how we go on from there, how we approach life. Having peace with God gives us a certainty and a hope that means we approach life with a new confidence and joy. Again, Romans 5 verse 3 speaks of how even in our sufferings we can find hope through the peace we have in God. Because verse 5, God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. And that brings us on to our second point. That having peace with God gives us peace of mind. A sense of peace within ourselves. Now don't worry, I'm not going hippie on you here. I'm not about to promote some kind of new age humanist philosophy. Because there is a new fashion that is promoting meditation, isn't there? In our schools, apparently they're replacing detentions with times of meditation for kids. But the thing is about that sort of meditation, it's the sort of meditation that talks about finding a quiet spot and emptying our minds. But that isn't the biblical model of meditation. The Bible tells us that meditation is filling our minds. We're to meditate on Scripture, to meditate on God's words, on his truths, to fill our minds with his beautiful truths and his promises, to spend time with God, to listen to his voice and all that he has promised us. Knowing God intimately and trusting in the good news that Jesus has dealt with our sin, so that we can have peace with God, enables us to live with a real sense of hope and security that truly frees us. As we do this, God gives us a sense of peace that guards our hearts and minds. I think this is one of the biggest things for me when I became a Christian. I remember as a teenager, I used to lie in bed at night. I don't know if I've shared this with you already, but on those Sunday evenings, I don't know why it was Sundays, but Sunday before the week began and school was ahead or whatever it was, the questions about the future, about life and death, and all those sort of things would come flooding into my head, and I would struggle to sleep. I was just full of anxiety, and I'm not naturally an anxious person, but even then, there was a fear of the future. But when I became a Christian, it just gave me such a sense of peace. I had a hope and a certainty in a certain future that answered all those questions that I'd had. It gave me a confidence and a joy that I hadn't known before. But there are also times in the Christian life where we feel far from this, aren't there? When Satan blinds us with worries and distracts us with temptations of this world, this can build a sense of guilt or anxiety that tends to paralyze us and make us feel hopeless. But God, once again, is not ignorant of this. He knows we will struggle, and he gives us great words of comfort. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The picture here is that our hearts and our minds are under assault. Guilt, worries, fears, confusion, uncertainties, they all threaten our peace. And Paul says that God wants to guard our hearts and minds. He guards them with his peace. He guards them in a way that goes beyond what human understanding can fathom. He gives us inexplicable, extraordinary, supernatural peace. And he does it when we take our anxieties to him in prayer and trust him that he will carry them for us and protect us. Ed Welsh, a Christian counselor from America, in his article Words of Hope for Those Who Struggle with Depression, says this: don't listen to yourself. Listen to God's word. In his presence is love that will take all eternity to begin to comprehend. If it doesn't move you now, it will. We have to keep preaching the gospel to ourselves and surround ourselves with people who will remind us of the gospel. When we do this, when we come to him and remember we already have peace with him and trust him as our loving and almighty Heavenly Father, his peace comes to us and steadies us. It protects us from those disabling effects of fear and anxiety and guilt. And then we're able to persevere. And God gets the glory for all that we do, because we trusted him. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We see here that peace means not only the absence of conflict and fear, but also the presence of joyful tranquility. There's a wonderful story of a man called Nicholas Ridley, who in 1555 was due to be burned at the stake because of his Christian ministry. On the night before Ridley's execution, his brother offered to come and spend the night in the cell with him, to comfort him, to be with him. But Nicholas, he declined the offer. He said that he just wanted to go to bed and sleep as quietly as he ever had in his life, because he knew the peace of God. He could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord to meet his need. Wow. How powerful is that? The night before he was about to be burnt at the stake, he's at peace, because he knows God. Knowing God and his gospel is a wonderfully liberating truth. It enables us to live life to the full, with all joy and peace as we trust in him, that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we understand and meditate on this fact, that we have peace with God because God has forgiven us, when we realize in all things God works for the good of those who trust him, we can have peace that one day we will see this peace fulfilled fully. Even through all the war and chaos, illness and broken relationships, death and evil that this world brings, we are able to persevere and rejoice because of the hope of the glory of glory that we have. Maybe this is an area where you're really struggling to trust God at the moment, to know God's peace for yourself. Will you take time to think about this Christmas? Take your anxieties and fears to God. Turn your anxiety to prayer. Tell him about them. Ask him to help you, to protect you. Meditate and fill your mind with his great truths. And ask him to restore your peace, to give you a real sense of joy. And then to use you to make peace and bring joy to others. And this takes us on to the third point, peace with others. God wants us to enjoy his peace in our relationships with others. As Paul says again in Romans 12, verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, when families come together at Christmas, it's not always simple, is it? I don't know if you remember these guys from the film Home Alone. This is a scene where it all goes wrong. When families come together at Christmas, it's not always simple, is it? But joking aside, for many at Christmas, when families come together, there'll be awkwardness. And there may even be some really painful relationships. Some of the pain is very old. Maybe some of it is new. In some relationships, you know what you have to do, no matter how hard it is. And in some of them, you're just baffled. You've got no idea how you can move on. In both cases, the key is trusting the promises of God with a wholehearted awareness of how he forgave you through Christ. He has forgiven us. We must therefore be people of forgiveness. A passage that puts this together particularly powerfully is Ephesians 4, verse 31 to 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. It's always important to reflect on the amazing grace of God. That in spite of all our sins, God has forgiven us through Christ. We should be amazed that we can have peace with God. It's only when we can cultivate a true sense of amazement that I, a sinner, have peace with God, that we can truly extend forgiveness and love to others. It should give us confidence that where there is relational breakdown in our lives, that it can be mended. I don't know if you came across this 10-year-old Syrian Christian girl. She went viral on YouTube a couple of years back because of her amazing forgiveness. She lives in Syria, and in her community, her family were under attack by ISIS, and so they were forced to leave their homes. She was interviewed by visitors to the refugee camp who asked her, "What are you feeling? What are you feeling towards those who drove you out of your home?" And she had this to say, "I won't do anything to them. I will only ask God to forgive them." She goes on to say, "When I pray, I ask God that he might help us to go home and that the peace of God might go all over Iraq, and also may God forgive ISIS." Wow. How powerful is that? She understands God's nature, doesn't she? She understands what he expects of us as well. We are to be peacemakers in this world. Is there someone you need to make peace with this Christmas, I wonder? Ask God to help you in your heart, to truly forgive, to keep trusting God. He is able to do immeasurably more than we can imagine. He is in the job of reconciliation. Remember his forgiveness of you. And then you'll be able to sing with the angels, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." The Prince of Peace has made it possible. And now finally we come on to the simple matter of world peace. As I've said already, our world is far from peaceful. We have messy and broken relationships all around us. And at times we don't feel at peace with God, do we? Sin leads to death. And while this world is ruled and inhabited by sinners, there will never be complete peace. Democracy is a wonderful thing, and in many ways we've seen that over the last few weeks and months, haven't we? Although it's been a bit messy, democracy has worked, but it's not our saviour. We've seen some good world leaders and some great regimes, but power corrupts. The human heart is sinful, and our hope cannot be founded, therefore, on human schemes. However, though we don't experience it and see it fully now, we can have a future hope of an everlasting peace. As Isaiah says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And just as we know it's true that Jesus came into the world as a baby and revealed himself as mighty God, we know it's equally true that he will come again in power. And he will take us home to live with him in perfect peace in all eternity. But we won't see peace on earth before Jesus returns. Our job before he returns is to share that there is a way to find peace with him through his gospel. There is still time. Because we know that one day, time will be up on this world. And for those who haven't put their trust in Jesus, there will be judgment. But for all who have, there will be an everlasting home where righteousness and peace will dwell forever. The Prince of Peace makes all of this possible. Do you know these truths for yourselves? Do you have peace with God? If not, will you receive this offer of peace this Christmas? Will you put your trust in the Prince of Peace, in whom we have a great hope? Maybe today is the day you will make peace with God. In a minute we'll have a moment's silence and you can do business with God. You can speak to him. You can ask him to forgive you and you can receive his peace. But maybe you're someone here who is at peace with God. You've put your trust in Jesus. But you're struggling to feel like that at the moment. You're struggling to feel at peace with him. Well, in that moment's silence we'll have, maybe you'd like to turn to Romans 15 and pray that God would fulfill those words in you. That he would fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And let's extend this offer of peace to those we know who have not yet received it yet. Christmas is such a great opportunity for that, isn't it? If you haven't invited anyone for this evening, please maybe go to your neighbour on the way home, knock on the door, invite them. Maybe send a quick message, a text or a phone call to someone. Get them here tonight. We'd love them to hear of this peace, wouldn't we? Well, let's have a moment's silence now, if we can, with that noise out there. We'll have a moment's silence, and let's allow God to speak to us however we need now, that we would come to him as the Prince of Peace. Thank you so much that you sent your Son, that he is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, that he reveals you as our Father, and that he is the Prince of Peace. We thank you that through him we come back into restored relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, that for the way that enables us to live at peace with others, that it enables us to live at peace in ourselves as we consider all your truths and promises. Lord, that we live with a hope of an eternity at peace with you, of a new creation where there will be no more pain and suffering, no more war, no more tears, no more death. Lord, we praise you for this wonderful hope. We praise you that at Christmas, this is what we celebrate, Lord. That's why we party, that is why we have such joy at Christmas, because you have brought about peace. And we praise you for it, Lord. Would we know that peace for ourselves this morning? And would we go and extend that peace to others as we leave here today? We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our final hymn, which we practiced at the beginning. So hopefully we can sing it with real confidence.